This first reading from the Book of Wisdom is talking about the Exodus and how it was guided by divine wisdom, whom the text personifies. In other words, because they dealt, the great saints among them at least, but all in a way, so intimately with God, they, for instance, they knew that the wisdom of God and the Spirit of God somehow shared God's identity, but they didn't know how. The revelation of the Trinity was left for Jesus, who speaks about his Father and the Spirit. And then at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit himself came. And from that moment on, it's been clear. It took 3 or 4 centuries of intense prayer and debate to articulate it. But you see, your all-powerful word from heaven's royal throne bounded, a fierce warrior into a doomed land, bearing the sharp sword of your inexorable decree. And as he alighted, he filled every place with death. He reached to heaven while he stood upon earth. Trying to describe that moment when, in some mysterious way, the firstborn of many, all, in Egypt were killed. God is saying, I love this people. Don't touch them. He's still saying that. The gospel, just think for a minute, who is telling us this, you know? Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. Now, who's telling us this? God himself, right? The eternal Son of God is going to tell us this story about this crooked judge who finally gave in because the widow wouldn't give up. Now, why would the Son of God, in his majesty, tell us a story like this? Do you see how anxious he is for us to understand what prayer is, what contact with the Father is? You know, it's a shocking story. My father's like this. If you bother him enough, you'll find, you know, that's not what he's saying. But it's, every time I read this, I think of the intensity of the desire that the Lord has for us to pray. This one, Luke introduces this parable by saying, he told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. I don't know why, but the image comes down. What was his name? French poet and sort of a philosopher. As soon as I finish the homily, his name will come. His daughter was very, very sick. And he prayed on the bus, on the train, walking down the street, you know, Charles Peggy, that's his name. He understood this. Day and night he prayed for his daughter, and she was healed. He understood this. Now, why would the Lord do that? Why would he keep us praying like that? Why doesn't he answer us right away? Because if he did, he'd be all for the rest of our life. He'd be like a great big abstract source of all good and comfort, but not any relationship to him. God, the Father, wants us to know him and to love him and to trust him. And so it's like, I think I've given you this image before. Suppose I had an ice cream cone right here and there was a child, you know. And if I just give it to them, they're going to take it and run away, right? Thanks. Suppose I hold it for a while. Finally, they're going to have to look at me, not just at the ice cream cone. And then there's a relationship between that child and myself. And then there's a real exchange between us. That's why God doesn't just automatically answer everything. Because more important than all our desires, and so, which are, you know, like very important, is the relationship to God. And so he'll keep us praying and praying and praying and praying until we finally get to know him, which is the point. And that's what he's saying here. So this, you know, every time I read this, I don't know whether I'm shocked or laugh. I mean, this is God telling us to treat him like an unjust judge. Can you imagine that love? Can you imagine? You see? While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me. This is God's own infinite Son telling us not to quit praying. You see? And we pray, because if we pray enough, we'll finally get to know him. And then if we want a bicycle, he'll give us one. But the important thing is that we know him. He's not a big abstract cornucopia. He's God, the Father, who loves us, who has a Son who is eternally and infinitely equal to him, and a Spirit who binds them together, equally infinite and eternal. And so this divine Son is trying to get us to understand, yes, we will give you many things. We've already given you your life, your health, your place in the world. I mean, suppose we all lived in Syria right now and we were Christians. See, he's protected us. But we have to get to know him. Remember what it says in the old Baltimore Catechism. Why did God make you? Everybody remember what that the answer to that is? Know him. Serve him. What's the first one? God made us to know him.